Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, this evening to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading. I'm just going to read a couple of these verses for you, starting out in verse 24. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. And we're just going to kind of refresh where we were for just a moment and then move forward into the direction that the Lord has for us tonight as we're talking about and we are continuing to talk about influences. It's the third week. We missed last week due to weather. And so the third week that we've talked about influences, and we've talked about the influences in our life. Where are they coming from? Where are they pointing us towards? As I told you, there are always influences. You are being influenced every moment of every day. Never forget that. There is a war for influence in your life every moment of every day. The enemy of your soul and even your fallen flesh nature is trying to open your spiritual life up to the influence of what is negative in your life or what is against God. So understand that. And then also realize that the Lord, through His Spirit and through His Word, is at all times, every moment of every day, attempting to bring His influence into your life as well. So what you do with these influences will determine how you live your life. Which influences you allow in, what you block yourself from, what you open yourself up to, will determine the life that you live. How many believe that is true? What you are influenced by is going to determine the type of lifestyle that you live. Okay? And we've been down the journey, and I'm not going to rehash a lot of it, but we've talked about this together, that influence, for good or bad, does three things. It initiates. So influence initiates a thought. And we talked about this the first week. This is how influence works. Something happens and it initiates a thought, and then it motivates a belief. So the thought is initiated, then it motivates us to believe that we need whatever that is that's just been initiated. Okay? So we have the thought, it initiates something exterior, happens and initiates a thought. And then in our life, belief is motivated. I've got to have that. I want to be that. I want to be like that. I want to have that type of life. And it motivates us to believe. And then it accelerates a response. So it initiates, it motivates, and it accelerates. This is what influence does. That's why for influence to be the most effective in our world system, it has to be constant, and it needs the response to be immediate. Because if you have time to think about it, the influence, the power of the influence is diminished. Okay, y'all, are you with me? How many of you have ever made bad decisions on a whim? Right? Made bad decisions in a moment. Let me tell you why. Because you were influenced to do that. Okay, this is why influence is so important. Something influenced you to make that decision. Maybe your past played a role in it. Your upbringing played a part in it. Your where you've come from, where your current situation may have helped in it. But something triggered a thought. It initiated a thought. A belief was motivated that was the proper response in that moment. And then not only did you believe it, not only was that motivated, but then there was a response accelerated. And before you knew it, you reacted. Comes from influence. So if we are going to live an overcoming life and we are going to be people of Christ and live according to the Word, then it is vitally important what influences we allow in our life. Amen. Now, if we could learn this when we were kids, or when we were preteens, or when we were teenagers, this could save us many, multiple problems. But we don't learn that very well. If fact, as adults, we don't learn this very well. Because we allow the influences into our life because they appeal to our flesh. And we don't realize the spiritual ramifications of allowing everything that just appeals to the fallen nature of your flesh into your life, because it will cause you to accelerate activities and actions that you will regret. Amen. Major purchases, people that are good with finances will tell you, sleep on them. Don't make the decision in the office of the car dealer, right? Sleep on it. Don't lay on the mattress in the mattress store and make the decision then. Think about it a little bit, right? I mean, that's people that are very good at sales, and there's nothing wrong with this, people that are, they understand the power of influence, and they know while you are under their influence is the time to strike, right? You close the deal while you're there. Otherwise, you lose your influence. Now, if we could see this in the spiritual world, do you not believe Satan understands this? The demonic world understands this. And if he can influence you, and the foul spirits that are in this world, and the spirit of man, and the spirit of this world, if it can get its clutches of influence into your life, then in the moment you're being influenced and you're allowing that influence, there's going to be a strike while it's hot mentality, and it'll cause you to react in a way you will regret. We've done this, we understand this, but we're not sure how to overcome it. And it's all about the influences you allow in your life. There are influences every day. Not only are there influences coming at us at all times from both sides, good and bad, sometimes they're just indifferent influences. They're just, you know, you like certain food, you're influenced by it. Not good or bad, it's kind of amoral. It's just something we all have to eat to live, and we like some things better than we like other things, and so it's just, but we're still influenced by it, correct? But you've got to evaluate your influences. Let me make this statement. If you never evaluate your spiritual influences, you will never live an overcoming life for Christ. If you never, I'm not saying let somebody else tell you what influences you need. If you never evaluate the spiritual influences coming into your life, if you never take time to think about those and look at those avenues and question those and line those up against the Word of God, you will never live an overcoming life for Christ. You will constantly act and have the guilt of that action that was influenced by the wrong influence. I'm not talking to anybody. Okay? So we've got to learn. It's easy for us to give in to the wrong influences, right? Why do you think that is? Why would it be so easy? Why does it seem to be so much easier to give in to the wrong influences than the God influence? Any thoughts on that? Because we're human. And what does that mean? What does being human mean about us? That we're flesh. And what does that mean about us? That we're weak. Our flesh is weak. Our flesh, let me say this because we need to hear this. Your flesh, every one of you, its first tendency is going to be to the wrong influence. Because it's enmity against God. It's raging against God. That flesh nature, that fallen nature. And so if it's left unbridled, if it's left unguarded, if it's left without the proper instruction, it's going to turn in the wrong direction. So it is vital that we understand. Here's what Romans 1 says. I don't think I've read this, did I? Verse 24. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They were influenced by the lie, and they disregarded the truth, and they believed the influence of the lie. And what happened? They worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. So in other words, they gave service and homage and praise to the creature. Now he's talking about idols. He's talking about old things that they built and they worshiped them, false worship. But today, we do the very same thing. We worship flesh and we reject God because we have been influenced by the lie and disregarded the truth. It is the world we live in. Okay? So we jump in right there in the book of Romans. And that's where we began this journey. And we talked about that there is going to be influence. And then you also, everything you are and do, not only will be influenced by something, but you will be a part of the influence upon others. Amen. Nothing you do is in a vacuum. Nothing you do is only about you, because it is a part of the influence that influences others. Maybe it's people in your family. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's coworkers. Maybe it's just a part of a cultural influence. See, when you give in to certain things, some people say, well, it's not hurting anybody. It's just what I do. It's just affecting me. No, it's not. You might say, well, no one's around me. Nobody knows about it, so it doesn't affect anybody else. Sure it does, because you are adding to a cultural influence that is influencing others. Amen. You understand that? The things that we involve ourselves in because we are influenced by them will have ramifications. They will. We are influenced and we are influencers. So never think you live in some sort of vacuum and some island by yourself, because what you allow to influence you and how you live your life, if nothing else, will become a part of the cultural influence upon others. So it's important as Christians that we make sure that we have the proper influences in our lives and we are being the proper influencers. Amen. Okay. So negative influences for bad propagate the lie. And it brings praise and honor and celebration of the creature, offering service and obedience to the creature. When influences for God, if allowed into our life, will bring the truth of God and the worship and praise and honor of God, and will put you in service for God. That's the two sides of this, okay? And we talked last time we gathered about some influences and how the world influences. And godly influences come through the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the people of God. Four ways you can make sure you're having godly influence in your life. Four ways. By being open to the Word of God. By being led by the Spirit of God. By being constantly in the presence of God with your praise and your worship. And by being around people of God. Amen. That safeguards the right influences among you. The negative influences, there's the word of the flesh. This is what the flesh says and does. The spirit of man and the spirit of the enemy will try to influence you. The presence of carnality and then people that are being used by the enemy will all be negative influences. Okay. Are you with me? So tonight, for real, for a few minutes here, I want to look at a couple of people who learned how to be influenced by God rather than by men. And we believe that's important. How many of you would like to focus on the influence from God rather than the influence of men in this world and the system of this world? Okay, that's what we're going to try to look at. The first one is a young boy in the Old Testament at a pivotal time in Israel's history by the name of Samuel. Go with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Samuel, the third chapter. 1 Samuel, the third chapter, is where we're going to start at verse number 1, and we will work our way through here. Samuel came at a pivotal moment in time. Samuel was, Samuel came at a pivotal moment in history, in time. It's going to be Samuel that later on in his life is going to be God's spokesman when the children of Israel, Samuel's going to span the time between now the judges and the kings. Okay, he's going to be the one that kind of stands in the gap there from God leading Israel, which was the plan, raising up judges, and these judges would be good and bad because Israel was good and bad, and that's just how it worked. But God wanted to be their king. And then the children of Israel started clamoring and saying, we want a king like everybody else. Okay, Samuel, when he rises up and gets older, he's going to be the one that anoints Saul, the first king of Israel. Saul was the king of the flesh. Amen. But Samuel also is going to be the prophet that through God's voice removes Saul from the kingship and kingdom, leadership, and anoints David as king. So Samuel is pivotal in this process, but his start was peculiar. Okay, his mother was barren, couldn't have children. I won't go into all the story, but she prayed and God opened her womb and she had a child and she dedicated him to the Lord. When we dedicate children to the Lord, we are following in the footsteps of Hannah and Samuel, and we're following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and all of those that would follow. But she brought him to the Lord and she gave him unto the Lord, and somewhere around now 12 years of age, he is in the house of the Lord. In verse 1 and 1 Samuel chapter 3 says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Eli was the head prophet. He was the main one now. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and just before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord. So the lamp is lit. It's to be a perpetual lamp. They are to continue to pour oil in it. They put enough oil in it for one day, and then the next morning they have to get up before it goes out, and they have to pour more oil in to keep the lamp going. So obviously it's early. The lamp is just about to go out. The old prophet, his eyes are dim. He can't hardly see. He's really not living the way he needs to be living. And just before the lamp of God goes out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, verse 4 says, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel said, here I am. And so he ran to Eli, and he said, prophet Eli, you called for me. Apparently, he probably was used to that. Probably Eli would call out if he needed something. Samuel runs to him and said, here I am, you called for me. And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go lay back down. Again, the Lord calls to him. He jumps up and runs in and says, here I am. What do you need? I heard your voice. And he said, I didn't call you. Go lay down. The third time, finally, the prophet of God, the old man that now his eyes are dim, and his sons who should have been the next in line for this job were wicked and they were evil and they were going to be judged. He finally gets something of an inkling of his spiritual side, and he says, I perceive God's speaking to you. Go lay down, and next time you hear him call, answer his call. So Samuel does just that. God gives him a vision. He goes in, and he's going to have to go tell Eli about the destruction of him and his sons and what Israel's about to go through, and it's not going to be a pretty thing, but God helps him. Now the whole thing I want to bring out of this story, though, is not so much the idea of the message he was given, the revelation he was given. But I want to talk to you about how he was able to break through the wrong influences and hear God, because that's what we need. See, this young boy, some would say probably around 12 years old, he was being influenced. Now, he was in the house of God. He was in the tabernacle. He was doing these duties in the tabernacle. He was there, but he didn't really have this understanding or this knowledge, and he's looking to those that are over him, and they are wicked. Eli may not have been totally wicked, but he wasn't altogether where he needed to be. His sons were flat out wicked. But somehow, Samuel was able to wade through the wrong influence and hear God. Amen. See, before you start saying, well, I just can't help it, I'm around it all the time. How many ever told your kids when they were young? Maybe they're still young, so maybe you're telling them that right now. Told your kids, you don't need to hear those kind of things, only to have your kids say to you, but Dad or Mom, whoever's the one talking, I'm around that. I hear that every day, all the time at school, so it's not going to bother me now. Does that only go on in my house? That went on in my house, right? Because we would, you know, movies, things like that, and we'd say, no, you don't need the greatest thing Veronica ever found, and in my kids' eyes, the worst thing in the world was Focus on the Family. What's it called? Plugged In. Oh, our kids, my kids, oh, that was the worst invention ever. But for Mom and Dad, it was great, because you could go on there and it reviewed every movie before it came out. And it told you every cuss word. In fact, even to the point that sometimes we would laugh at some of the things that they would have in there. It showed their shoulder. They said a slang word. You know, not talking about cuss words, but just something that you know, I would have got my little rear end whooped for saying, but now it's just kind of acceptable socially. And we would chuckle sometimes, but my kid all day, because Mom, every time a movie came out they wanted to go to, Mom would go to Plugged In Online. And it almost got to the point that they just didn't even want to ask anymore. And I have a feeling at least one of my kids, and I won't name which one, probably one of my kids probably just went to movies without telling Mom. Amen. Yeah, I heard an amen in the house, and I probably know who that amen was. But we would say, you don't need to be around. You don't need to be hearing that. But I hear that every day, all the time. And we would say what good parents say. But you're not going to pay to go hear that. I can't help what you hear when you're at school or here and there. But I can help what you hear with our money. Anybody had those? I'm feeling like I'm on an island here. There's a few of y'all that are with me. But because we were concerned about the influence. Because influence is important. Samuel had negative influences all around him. He had Eli, who couldn't see and wasn't really listening to God. He had Hophni and Phinehas, who was his sons, who were wicked. They were taking their position from God to make money for themselves. And in fact, they would end up being struck by God and die because of their wickedness after Samuel would prophesy. But Samuel did not let that influence get in him. How did he do it? Let me tell you real quickly. The first thing he did is he was able and was in a place to hear the word of the Lord. Now, these are not going to be mind-blowing things. Okay, these are going to be very practical things. The first thing we see about Samuel, he didn't really understand all about God. He was young. He didn't really have this relationship with God yet. He was young. But somehow, he was in the right place to hear the word of God.
Let me stop right here and say something that's very important. It is vital in our culture today, just as it is in every culture, it is vital that you put yourself and your family in the place to hear the word of the Lord. It's vital. It's not optional. Let me go back a moment. Because all week long, you and your family are hearing the influential voices of the culture. And so every opportunity you have to hear the influential voice of the Lord, you need to take advantage of it, and your family needs it. Amen. I know a lot of people that, especially with their kids growing up and all that, they allow them to make their choice on what they're going to do. It wasn't like that in my home, and it certainly wasn't like that when I was growing up. I'd like those preachers that say, and I'm just like them, I had a drug problem when I was young. I was drugged to church every time the doors were open. That was my drug problem. I never one time in my life I do not have one memory of my whole existence in my house, my mom or my dad saying, "Greg, do you want to go to church today?" I don't have one memory of hearing that statement. It was never an option. Right? I have many memories of saying, "I don't want to go." Right? Why do we have to go every time the doors are open? Why do we have to go on Tuesday night of revival when nobody else shows up? But they didn't ask my opinion. They believed I needed to be in the place that I could hear the word of the Lord. I know that's old-fashioned. Sorry, I don't mean to upset your way. You do what you do. That's between you and God. But I'm telling you, it's vital in this culture today. Think about it. Every day of the week, everything that they are around. Have you been in your high schools lately? I'll tell you what would be good for every Christian. Every Christian should take a few days out of every year and go be a substitute teacher in your high school. I kid you not. I'm telling you, it would be the best thing in the world you could ever do. I have subbed. I'll take days off every now and then. My Monday a lot of times is my day off if I have that opportunity. And I've subbed on those days. And I'll tell you, it's eye-opening. You walk down the halls, and they're kids. I mean, we've been there. It's different. I mean, I'm getting there. I'm not that old yet. But we walked down the halls, you know, and we cussed and we did all that, but we kind of did it to each other because we knew if we did it out loud and said it too loud, we'd get in some big trouble. That doesn't happen today. They walk down the school hallways today, and they holler out to each other some of the most foul language you could ever imagine, with teachers standing right there listening to them. Now, there may be some. But I'm telling you, it's a different culture. So here's where I'm going with that. I'm not saying that to bash our kids. They're kids. Okay, I'm not saying that. They're kids. They're influenced by their culture. What I'm saying is this. Every day, that's what they're getting. Every day, it's what they're getting. Whatever the culture's feeding them, that's what they're getting. That means it's even more vitally important that when we come together, that we make sure we try to proclaim God's word, and we try to portray God's value, and we try to proclaim the things that God says. And it's important that they're here. It's important you're here because you're in this world every day. And influence matters. It mattered so much to the ones that Paul was writing to in the book of Romans. It matters so much that they were so influenced that God gave them over to their wickedness. So you can be influenced to such a point that it just gets totally out of control. And God says, have at it. Go for it. And that's where our culture is. And all while that's getting worse in that type of influence, the influence of the word of the Lord in the church is getting less and less and less. Amen. Samuel heard the word. He was in the place to hear the word. The second thing he had to do, and he had some help with this, he had to recognize the origin of the word he was hearing. He had to recognize it was God trying to speak to him. So he had to be in the place where he could hear the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord, and he had to understand it was God that was, he had to begin to distinguish, this is God, not man. Amen. I could preach right there, but I won't. I'm just going to, see, we need to be able to distinguish that God's the origin of the words we're hearing and not man. See, Samuel had a hard time with that. He thought it was Eli calling him. He ran in there and said, yes, Eli. And Eli said, I didn't say anything to you. And he finally, Eli instructed him and said, God's trying to talk to you. Amen. And he said, okay, here I am, Lord. And then when he recognized the origin, God spoke clearly to him. If you want the right influences in your life, you got to be around the word of the Lord. You got to be in the, that means you got to open your Bible. You need to be in services. You need to be, you need to be reading your word devotionally. You need to be doing all that stuff. But you've got to get a relationship with the originator of the word, and you've got to be able to discern when it's his voice and when it's man's voice. And John writes and says that's possible. Jesus said it was possible. Because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And another they will not follow. And you might say, well, how do I know? Well, you've got to be in a place to hear God's word. And you need some direction sometimes into that word. And you've got to understand that when God's talking, he's always going to talk to you about bringing glory to his name. He's always going to lead you in a path that is going to point you towards him. There's a lot of voices in the world today. Samuel heard a lot of voices. But when he was able to distinguish God's voice from man's voice, his life changed forever. Amen. How many understand? I've had this question asked of me so many times. How do I know if it's God? And I'll tell you, just the last week and a half, I've been praying. I've been praying, and my prayer has been this: Lord, help me to hear you more clearly above all the other voices. That's been my prayer, because I don't think we ever get to the point where we can grow comfortable. I think we've got to constantly be searching to hear from God. And we got to evaluate what's being said to us and what is it pointing us towards? What is it leading us towards? God will not lead you towards harm. God will lead you towards his plan. He will point you towards his son. The Spirit of God that he sent when Jesus ascended, the Spirit of God, it says, he will take of mine and he will give it unto you, and he will bring back to your memory, and he will point you back to Jesus. The way you can know it is God, it's when it points you to Jesus or it points you to his concepts. The enemy won't do that. The world won't do that. Now, your motivation has to be checked. And you have to make sure you're not trying to be puffed up with pride. But you've got to discern the origin of the word. And then the third thing he did is he responded to the word. Influence. You've got to be in a place to hear the word. Do you know, if you never open your Bible throughout the week, or you never have it in your heart and you never meditate upon it, it can never influence you. Amen.
Do you know meditation is not something that Eastern culture has made up? Meditation is a God thing. The psalmist would write and say, I meditate upon your word. We need to read it. We need to meditate upon it. We need to think about it. We need to be in the place that we are receiving it. Because if we're not, we're hearing voices, but they may not be God's. And then we've got to be able to discern. Now, I want to tell you, I heard about discernment all the time growing up. We don't hear as much about it now, but do you know, and discernment, the discerning of spirits is one of the least talked about gifts of the Spirit that there is. We talk about all the other great things, but I want to tell you probably the most important gift of the Spirit that any of us can ever walk in and operate in is that discerning of spirits, where the Spirit of God reveals unto us the right path, the right thing, and we should pray for that. Amen. Don't leave it up to yourself, because remember, you're weak and you're flesh. So make sure you're in God's Word and pray for discernment. Help me to discern right and wrong, and right spirits and wrong spirits and the right direction, and ask God to let His Spirit give you this ability to discern. But you got to be in the Word for that to operate. You got to be meditating upon it for that to be activated. Amen. Samuel was laying, he heard the word of God, and then he had to recognize the origin. Get a relationship with the originator of the word. If you will develop your relationship with the Lord, you will hear His word, and you will let His influence become louder than the world's. And then the third thing, you've got to act. You've got to apply it. He gives it. He builds relationship with us so we can trust Him and we can know when it's Him speaking. And then we have to apply it. Amen. Influence. What are your influences? Samuel came into a darkened day when there was no open revelation. The Word of God was precious in those days. And what that means is not everybody was holding it close saying, my precious, you know, loving on it. You Lord of the Rings nerds will get that. Everybody else will forget, will miss that one. But that it didn't mean that they were all holding it as precious. It meant no one was paying any regard to the Word of the Lord. And so therefore, it was minuscule. And only those who were latching on to it did it mean something to. He came into a bad day. But he was not influenced by the negative influence. Amen? If he can do it, God can help you do it. Now, next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about a New Testament man by the name of Paul. We'll do that next week and talk about how he navigated his culture. But the question is, who or what is influencing you? And how can you make sure it's God? Well, you've got to be in a place to hear His word. You've got to discern through relationship the origin and the originator and relationship with Him so that you can understand the difference, and then you have to apply it. How many of you have ever had a revelation, something in the Word of God or something the Lord has spoken to you or shown you, and it just seemed to change everything? It was like a light went off, and you saw things differently. You begin to look at things differently. You know what happened? You were influenced by the presence of God to apply that to your life and to make a difference. See, God wants to do that. It's not just Satan that wants to influence. It's not just the world that wants to influence. God wants to influence. The world spends billions of dollars to influence us. To culture. Huh? But let me tell you how much God valued His influence in our life. The world throws billions of dollars to influence you. God sent his only begotten son to die for your sin. Now tell me who's given more and reaching out more to try to influence you. But the sad reality is, which one do we pay more attention to? Amen. So we need to get into the house of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. I don't mean in church, in the presence of the Lord. Hear his word. Get to know the originator of the word. Discern his voice from the world's voice and apply it in our life. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Never forget this. Every moment of every day, there is a battle for influence in your life. God's influence, the world, wickedness, whatever you want to call it, Satan, flesh, evil spirits, whatever you want to call it, but there's a battle. Which influence are you allowing the most room in your life? There are some things we can't help, right? How many of you are in some places, maybe on your job or in some places, that you can't help but the negative influences to be all around you, right? But you can help what you allow into you. Pastor, what do I do if I'm in that place and all around me is negative and all around me is foul and all around me is the world and the ways of the world? What do I do? Then you have to fight extra hard to get the Word of God, to keep it in your heart, and to meditate upon Him and to communicate with Him and not allow these influences on the exterior to get in you.